Well, as we reported, the president is calling for a sharp reduction in our ground forces around the world. Plans already in the works to cut tens of thousands of troops. More cuts expected. None of those troops, so far at least, reported or revealed. He's blaming the economy, by the way, as the reason for those cuts. The United States has more than 1 million members of the armed forces in 149 countries around the world. 149 countries. Can you imagine? No presidential administration, Republican or Democrat, wants you to know what we're about to reveal here tonight. They don't want you to know, have never wanted you to know, how much it costs the American taxpayer to maintain our forces in 149 countries. The government doesn't release a breakdown by country of what it costs to maintain our troops overseas. It is not a number that's shared even within the Pentagon. But we have been doing some work of our own in trying to uncover at least one number that would tell part of the story. And here's that number. It costs $788 million a year to maintain 28,500 troops in South Korea alone. $1 billion, those troops have been there, by the way, since 1953, after the end of the Korean War. How much does it cost for to maintain our troops in Germany, throughout the Middle East, Italy, the United Kingdom? Well, joining me now to discuss more of the foreign policy of this country, its impact on our national security, and yes, our military itself, Daniel Pipes, the director of the Middle East Forum, Robert Gleason, expert on the threat of nuclear terrorism and author of the book, End of Days, and Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, Fox News contributor, Judith Miller. Judy, as we talk about this reduction in force that is now part of the plan, we don't know which troops where are going to be reduced. We'll know it will be tens of thousands. What do you expect to ensue? Will this be a partisan battle over national security and the size of our troops, or will it be an honest examination of the interest of this nation in foreign policy and its military?
Well, if wishes were horses, I mean, you know. No, it's,
that's not the most optimistic beginning I've ever heard.
But look, we've got to put this in perspective. At least in terms of what the president and the defense secretary have announced so far, we're talking about 80,000 troops that are to be reduced over a 10-year period.
Right.
That is not extraordinary, and it also gives you the option of revving them up again if you really have an emergency. But I think
to put that in further context,
right,
that number is half the number of troops that we had at its peak in Iraq during the war there.
Roughly correct. That's right. And I think what this says, and what the president has been very clear about, is that he doesn't want to see any more of these wars. We don't want these long deployments with 100,000-plus U.S. troops involved in.
You make him sound so lonely. I don't think he's certainly alone in that.
He is not alone in that.
Irrespective of party.
Absolutely not.
Daniel Pipes, your thoughts?
My thinking is that this $500 billion is an addition to the $500 billion that's going to be from the super committee failure from the agreements last summer. And so the cuts are going to be more severe. And while Judy's perfectly right that the president doesn't want such wars, wars are not usually matters of choice. They happen to you. They're crises. So I'm very much against this. I think at a time like this, with the dangers in the Middle East, in Iran, in Pakistan, in Russia, China growing its force, what are we doing cutting ours? This is exactly the wrong thing to do at this time.
Bob Gleason, your thoughts.
When Admiral Mike Mullen, when he retired as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he said the single biggest national security threat was financial. And he didn't even factor in corporate debt and investment banking debt. That I've seen estimates that there's $1.4 quadrillion in global derivative debt right now. And also, when you were talking, that's a horrible national security threat. And when you were talking before about the expense of the missile bases, Paul Erdman, the economist, once did an analysis of that. And one of the problems is that money is dumped overseas. And that is far more destructive to our economy than money that is spent in the United States and circles around the United States. And when he figured out the indirect costs of just dumping, you know, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars overseas, that he figured off back, this was like 92, he figured out if he could pay off the national debt in 10 years with what we would save.
And in 1992... we were talking about a peace dividend after prevailing over Marxist-Leninism and the collapse of the Soviet Union. We're talking about the Pentagon budget, national security, our defense budget. We're back with Daniel Pipes, Bob Gleason, Judy Miller. Let's go to the issue straight away. Iran, the threat it poses, in a time in which we're talking about reducing defense spending by $100 billion a year, that sounds punitive to the national security. In fact, is it?
Well, I don't think we know how much the cuts are actually going to be. We're not going to know until we see the president's budget. So I wouldn't accept Dan's
Would you say it's closer to $100 billion than, say, 20? No, I mean, we know it's $500 billion just from sequestration as a result of the deficit commission. We know what they have said, that they're going to make something in this order of a cut on their own.
They have
but before we get into that, let's
it,
deal with this issue.
Let's look
Is
at it
a national security matter to the point that you think that there will be a partisan divide and will be a substantial issue in this campaign?
Well, since everything seems to be a partisan issue these days, I think you have to assume this one will be. On the other hand, you have a lot of Republicans who are just as concerned about the national security threat of our spending and what it does to our economy and what it does to our standing in the world. I think it's very hard to evaluate at this point, which is the greater threat.
Why is it so tough, Daniel Pipes, for us to evaluate the impact of spending almost $700 billion a year on the national security of nations that are in far better economic shape than we to defend themselves and to ally with us against terrorist threats and geopolitical threats that are emerging and that have been extant for decades.
Well, I agree with your premise that I think
that we're part
American
of the way there.
Leaders, that American leaders have, since World War II, been overly eager to take up burdens, and sometimes to the point that other leaders say, well, okay, the Americans are going to do it. We don't have to bother. Over and over again, we've done that over the last 65 years. But that said, I do think it's very important for us to have an international, a global presence. We are creating the architecture, the security architecture for the whole world. And as soon as we pull back, say, in the Middle East...
Well, I've got to ask you, Daniel, why in the world is it incumbent upon us to establish the security architecture for the whole world? And isn't it presumptuous in the extreme for us to do so? And by the way, when you've got an ICBM, don't you have the capacity to extend your foreign policy and your national interest rather quickly?
Well, as we learned in the 1950s, you can't just rely on nuclear weapons. You have to have forces. Is it presumptuous of us? Well, maybe it is.
I'm sorry,
but
what did we learn in the 60s?
From it. That you can't just rely on nuclear weapons. You have to have actual forces, too. You can't say whatever is going to happen around the world, our response is going to be to bomb them to smithereens. But
we'll leave that question open. let me turn quickly to Bob Gleason. Iran emerging as a threat. Threatening our Navy in the Strait of Hormuz, the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf. And at the same time, we're talking about reducing ground forces. Your reaction, your thoughts.
Yeah, first I'd like to say something that Daniel Pipes said about, you know, wars happen to us. It's not, you know, and it, you know, whether we like it or not. That actually the last three big wars we had, we ended up defending nations that didn't want to defend themselves, really. South Korea, we're still having to bankroll South Korea, and we've got 60,000 people, soldiers defending them that don't have to be there. That the South Vietnamese didn't want to defend themselves. I don't know why we got into it. It's not that wars just happened to us, Daniel.
And Iran?
I think in the case of Iran, people talk about what a great threat they are. In one day, one 24-hour period, we could destroy their whole refinery industry. We could destroy all the terminals that, you know, that deliver oil to the ships. We'd pauperize them in 24 hours. In terms of, people talk about mining the Straits of Hormuz. In fact, it's impossible to mine the Straits of Hormuz. The channel's too deep and the current's too strong. In fact, the current would drag the mines back to the Iranian shore. Their navy consists of some small boats and, you know, some trucks with some cruise missiles on them.
And some big voices with some big ideas. We thank you very much, all of you. Daniel, thank you very much. Judy, thank you. Bob, thank you.